Ireland in the 1590s was a troubled land. The English Queen, Elizabeth I, was overseeing a violent reconquest of the island. This pushed the Irish and Ulster into revolt, leading to a conflict that became known as the Nine Years' War. My next exclusive episode, only available to supporters of the show on Acast Plus and Patreon, will focus on the intriguing story of this war. Sign up today for Acast Plus in the links below and get that fascinating episode on September the 8th.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Castles, for me, bring the past to life in a more evocative and powerful way than any historical record can. Indeed, there's something similar about all historic buildings. When you stand in a physical space where the past played out, it gives you an insight into history in a way no words ever could. A good analogy is the sound of the ocean. If someone describes it to you, you do get a sense of what it's like. But when you hear this sound, far more powerful images flood into your mind. In the hope of gaining similarly evocative senses of the past, today I'm going to record a podcast in a 500-year-old castle to get insights into day-to-day life in the past. So over the course of this show, we'll launch an assault on this castle to see how its defences work. We'll look at what it was like to be a servant in the castle, and we'll see how luxurious, or otherwise, castle living really was. Because despite what we often imagine, these buildings weren't necessarily the most ideal place to live. If you're not familiar with the show, my name is Finn Dwyer, and this is the Irish History Podcast. Over the last few weeks, after a spell of writer's block, I've taken a break from my ongoing series on the Irish War of Independence. Now, this show will be a bit different from the episodes in that series, but without further delay, I'm going to drive out to Clara Castle and I'll pick up the story there. If you want to know more about this period in Irish history, you should check out my book, Life in Medieval Ireland. There's signed copies still available in the shop at irishhistorypodcast.ie/shop. Finally, if you're a show patron listening to this episode, there's a new video up on Patreon telling you all about new features being rolled out in the next few weeks. It's pinned to the top of the page and it's really worth checking out. It explains exciting new content and changes coming down the line. Okay, with all that said, I'm heading off to Clara Castle and I'll talk to you when I arrive there. So I've arrived at Clara Castle, folks, and before I head in and start to talk about what it was like to live in the building, I'm just going to describe it to you now, so you've got a picture of it in your mind's eye as you listen to the show, and I'll tell you a little bit about the history of the building as well. Then the first thing we're going to do is launch an attack on the castle to see what its defences are like. Then we're going to talk about day-to-day life inside. So Clara Castle is what's called a tower house in Ireland. It's a bit different from the stereotypical castle you might have in your mind's eye, say places like Kilkenny Castle or Dublin Castle. It's a much more modest building than that. As the name tower house suggests, it's a rectangular tower. That's all the castle consists of. It's 5 or 6 floors in height. You move up through the castle through a single spiral stone staircase in one of the corners. That has a huge impact on what life was like in the castle. I'll talk about that later on. In terms of its purpose, it was the home of the Shortall family who built it. But because it was built during a very volatile time in Irish history, in probably the 16th century, defence is the major consideration given to everything in the castle. And that has a huge impact in what it was like to live in. Because once you focus on defence, things like comfort have to take a back seat. So we'll be talking a lot about that. In terms of the defences, though, it has what's key to the castle, I suppose, is that it has one entrance through a doorway. I'm going to talk about that. And then that is protected by a wall that's about 10, 12 feet in height that just protects the doorway. It doesn't go all the way around the castle. I'm going to talk about that when we launch our assault on the castle. In terms of the history of the building, we don't know exactly when it was built. So this type of castle, a tower house, are generally considered to date between about the year 1400 and the year 1600. Certainly after the year 1429, they began to appear in increasing numbers. That's because the king at the time, Henry VI, offered a grant of £10 to build castles like this across the east of Ireland. Clara, it's thought, probably dates much later to maybe the late 16th century, but we're not certain because tower houses are just notoriously difficult to date. As I said, its main purpose or function was as a domestic residence for the Shortall family, but also defence, because it was built during a period of instability in Ireland, was probably the primary consideration when it was designed. However, this wasn't the type of castle where you'd find a major siege. It doesn't have great strategic value in the wider landscape, but also because it's so small, an attacking army is more likely to bypass somewhere like Clara and head for Kilkenny Castle, a much more important strategic place in the landscape if you consider the wider region strategically. So its defences are, I suppose, what we might call modest. It consists of a singular tower and this whatever 10, 12 foot wall that protects the entrance. And that's there more to fend off, say, an attack from a rival family. This is a period of instability where feuds and rivalries between major families are very common. So you could face an attack, say, of 30, 40, 50 people. So that wall is more designed to fend off that type of attack. And you know what? I think the best thing we can do is actually test out these defences, and then we'll move on to talk about what life was like inside. So I'm going to get out of the car and I'm going to approach the castle as if I was a defender. I'll describe a little bit about what the defences are as you'd approach the building as we do that. So now I'm out of the car and I'm standing directly in front of the castle. So it kind of towers up above me. But if you were an attacker, obviously the first thing you want to do is get to the entrance of the castle. There's only one door, so you need to get to that. And that's protected by this wall that I mentioned earlier. So if you, back say around the year 1600, you're trying to attack Clare Castle for whatever reason, you start to move up towards the defensive wall that protects the main entrance into the castle. There's an arch through that. You're obviously going to have to go through that. And as you're approaching that, the sound you're most likely to hear is this. And so what that is obviously gunfire. Now you can't see it, but as you approach the wall of the castle, obviously you can't see it, but no one can. As you approach the wall of the castle, there's about five holes in this wall that you can't really see as you approach it. They're quite low down. And what they are is gun loops, and I'm just going to step through. So if you'd gotten inside this defensive wall, now I'm right up beside the tower itself, inside the defensive wall, you can see these gun loops, and there's space cut into the wall for people to fire out. Now, if you approach the castle though, you get through the outer wall and you're faced, now I'm just closing the gate behind me, you're faced with the tower itself. Now there's a big heavy oak door through the main entrance into the castle. You have to get into that. There are several, however, defensive features in this castle. First of all, directly above the door, you have what's called, I suppose, an arrow loop that allows someone to fire down on anyone approaching the door. And then I'm moving right up to the door itself. This is the door. And obviously, anyone attempting to break into the castle would have to go through this door. If you look up, which I'm doing now, 65 feet above you, at the very top of the castle, is what's called Immaculation. And this is a stone feature that hangs out over the wall, directly above the door, really high up above it. But that was designed so defenders could lean out over the wall, drop down, say, stones or something like that. But they're also protected, so people attacking can't fire up at them. They can drop it down on someone potentially attacking the castle. Now, we're going to progress with our attack. So this door in front of me is a modern oak door, but it does give you some sense of the heavy door that would have originally been here. I was talking to the farmer who has the key for the castle, and he was telling me he can actually remember the original door. It's not long gone. But anyway, we're going to break through this. Now, you can probably hear it. You have to put your shoulder just to open this. But if somehow you manage to break through this, come into what would have been at the time. Now, I'm standing inside what you would call the, for want of a better word, the reception area of the castle, but you get a pretty spectacular reception in here. So when you walk inside, it's a pretty cramped space. You're faced with an arch on the three sides. It's a square room. There's an arch to the right, an arch straight ahead, and an arch to the left. The one to the left leads to the spiral staircase that would allow you to move up through the castle. The arch dead ahead leads to the main room on the ground floor, and then there's a small, I suppose, antechamber into the right. If you had come in here, say around the year 1600, each one of these arches would have been blocked by a door, and you find yourself in this, as I say, tight reception area. But what was, you can't see it today, because the floor above is gone, but essentially what would have been in the roof above you were murder holes, and that would have been a trapdoor of some kind that as you pile in as an attacker into this space, all the doors around you are blocked off. You need to get out of here. The trapdoor above would open up and the defenders of Carra Castle would be able to fire down on top of you. So as you came through the arch into the compound outside the door, there was gunshots. If you eventually, then when you try and break down the big heavy door, you could face items being dropped down from the Immaculation at the top of the tower. And then once you break into this space, you'll find yourself in this very tight, difficult to maneuver chamber or reception area. And then a trapdoor opens up from above and they start to attack from above. So that gives you a sense of a series of defenses in this castle. Now, I think if you manage to get through this up, and obviously what you'll be trying to do is move up through the castle, that is where the defences are weakened. I think once you breach this point, you're really starting to progress with your attack. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to park the story of attacking the castle. I think we've attacked the castle, we've made our way in. And now what I'm going to talk about is what it was like to live in a building like this, because it's quite different than we might imagine. And to start that story, I'm going to move into the ground floor, the main room on the ground floor.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I've moved into the main room on the ground floor in Carra Castle. And immediately, when you stand in this room, you are struck by the fact that life in a castle is very different to life in a modern house. I mentioned outside that this was built by the Shorthall family, and essentially that castle did serve as a residence for them, but they lived in this building completely differently and they used it completely differently to the way that we'd use a modern house. So if you, in a modern house, the ground floor is where we tend to spend a lot of time. The kitchen is usually on the ground floor. There'll be a living room of some kind usually on the ground floor. And then it's really only at night maybe that people go upstairs. That's where we tend to sleep. In a castle, the opposite was the case. And you really see that when you step inside this room on the ground floor. Because defense is key to the way a castle is built, first of all, the windows on this floor are tiny. They're what are called arrow loops. They're about 2 inches wide, a foot and a half long, and they only allow narrow shafts of light into the room. So it's quite dark, first of all. Secondly, you don't want to be in this room if you're afraid of attack. We've just come through the main door and into this room, through that reception area that I talked about. You don't want to be here. So they tend to live on the upper floors. Also, it probably would have been quite damp in here. So it's a damp, dark space. This probably would have been a storage area. To find out where the family lived, we're going to have to move up through the floors. And what I'm going to do is go up to the second floor. I'm moving up through the spiral stone staircase. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I think it's actually up on the second floor, which I'm just entering now, is where you start to get a sense of where a family, the Shorthall family, may have spent more of their time. Up here, the room up here is so different than the room on the ground floor. There's only two windows here, but one of them is a really broad window. Because we're two floors up, the defensive considerations for the castle are far less than they would be on the ground floor. An attacker would have to, I'm looking out the window, it's, I don't know, 20 feet, 30 feet up off the ground. So they can have this broad window that allows light in. It's a much more airy room, I suppose. There's also a beautiful big stone fireplace built into the wall of this room. It's beautiful stonework on this. You can imagine if there was a roaring fire going in this, that this room could be quite comfortable. Sometimes it can be hard to imagine when you're in a castle today, because you know there's no plaster work, or a lot of the plaster work is gone, so it looks very uncomfortable. But you can start to imagine being in here, what it would have looked like if the walls were plastered. You've got a big roaring fire going in a castle like this. This room, you can imagine it being cozy, I suppose. Interestingly, in this room, there's two passageways that penetrate the walls of the castle from here, and they're interesting features because they give us a good sense of what life was like in the castle. So one goes away to the left of the major window that I talked about, that leads into this little chamber in here. This largely seems to have been constructed with defence in mind, because there's an arrow loop on the very corner of the castle, and that's covering what would probably have been a blind spot in the walls. It's actually worth bearing that in mind. In a castle, there's lots of blind spots because it's a square or rectangular building. From inside, there's a lot of blind spots, so they needed these features just to be able to see out a potential attacker. The more interesting passage, though, is on the far side, and this is more about what life was like in a castle. So this one, which I'm stepping into now, and I'm walking down this passageway that runs through the wall of the castle. You know, actually, and it's quite interesting walking through this passageway. People often talk about castles, or you know, like in the medieval period and the early modern period, about things, archways being smaller. Like, I'm pretty tall, but I can walk through the passageways and the doorways in Clara Castle with comfort. Like, it's very spacious. But at the end of this passageway, I've come down to what is a trough at the end, a stone trough. And under the stone trough is a chute. And that chute runs all the way down to ground level. And this is what's called a garderobe, or a toilet in a castle. Now, compared to a modern toilet, these things would have been pretty uncomfortable. It would have been freezing in winter, because you're just essentially sitting on, well, they probably would have had a wooden board above the trough, but like, the cold air is going to be coming back up the chute. In summer, on a day like today, it would have reeked in here, I would imagine, because the waste, the human waste, just goes down the chute into a point at the end that could be accessed from the outside, and it could be shoveled out every so often. But you can imagine the smell coming back up the chute. It wouldn't have been pleasant. That said, given that very few people, other than the very wealthy, would have had indoor toilets at the time, this would have been a luxury of sorts in a castle. Interestingly, it wasn't a feature here, but in some castles at the time, and some toilets, you see them, where there would be space for several people to sit down beside each other. Just shows how ideas of privacy have changed so much that, it's not something you'd find in a modern house. Now, I'm going to continue on just talking about day-to-day life in the castle. I'm going to move right up to the top floor because I think that's where the Shorthall family would have spent most of their time. And that involves continuing up this spiral staircase again. I'm passing the third story here. There's a secret chamber in there that I'm going to talk about at the top floor. And we come up to the top floor here, and this is actually the biggest room in the castle. It's got four windows in it. Most of them only have three. This one has four windows. It's pretty bright. There's another stone staircase or stone fireplace here. Again, you get the sense that this room, once upon a time, could have been very comfortable. It's gone now, but there would have been. Today, when you look up, you see the rafters of the roof of the castle. But back when, during its heyday, there would have been a loft and a mezzanine floor, I suppose, that would have made this room much more cosy. And completely the opposite way to modern houses, it's probably this room up here at the very top of the castle where the Shorthall family would have spent most of their time. There's lots of reasons for that. One, defence. You're farthest up from the door, so it's obviously the most secure room. Secondly, it is the brightest room. You can afford to have these windows up here. You also have great advantage over the landscape. Also, in terms of the power and prestige of the Shorthall family, they would want to be spending time up here. So they aren't kings or queens or anything like that. They're a regional power. They're important in East Kilkenny, or even more localized than that. But if they are, you know, having an audience, or for want of a better term, with, you know, a local tenant, something like that, if that person comes to Clara Castle, they have to ascend through several stories up that spiral staircase that I've come up. And that would have, you know, there's a sense of expectation, I don't know, is that the word, as they moved up, that they're about to meet someone important. And when they come in here, you know, they see these incredible views across the landscape that you wouldn't see from the ground level, and there's no building like this in the landscape, so it heightens the prestige, I suppose, of the Shorthall family. Up here as well, there is, I suppose, a dark and sinister feature in the castle as well. And if coming up the stairs heightens the prestige of the family, up here you also see the threat of the family. Because from this room at the very top of the castle, there are three archways. One leads to the spiral staircase I came up. A second leads up onto the battlements at the top of the castle. And then a third appears to lead into, I suppose, what looks like an almost a cupboard. And if you glance at it, you might think that was another garderobe, because there's a hole in the floor that seems to lead downwards. That hole actually leads into a secret chamber built into the floor beneath this one. And what it seems to me to be is that is a cell, a prison cell in the castle. There's no other reason why you would build a room like this. It'd be very difficult to access this. The only way you could get in there is to be lowered in through a rope. The only way you could get out is to have a rope passed down or a ladder passed down. And you'd have to imagine that's why this was built. It's a cell high up in the castle wall where if you transgressed against the Shorthall family, that's where you could end up. And I have to say, for any fans of Game of Thrones, It has a very Ramsay Bolton feel about it. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones, it's a particularly nasty character in that would be the type of figure that you'd associate with that cell. But I think that idea of someone, for one reason or another, coming up to meet the Shorthall family up here. They ascend through all the spiral staircase. They come in, there's prestige, you can look across the landscape, but there's also the threat of that very bleak cell just in this room as well. It kind of symbolises the power of the Shorthall family up here. Now, amazingly, this castle was actually lived in until the year 1905, when in the 1901 census, there was a census return filled in for this castle. And there was a priest, actually the local curate was living here, a Father Frayne, and there was two other people, there was a cook, a woman in her 50s, I think, and then there was a young servant boy, who was about 14. But they still lived in that castle, and what we're actually going to do now in the last part of the show is talk about what it was like to be a servant in this castle, because throughout its history, it's obviously associated with the rich and powerful, the Shorthall family, and I suppose then the parish priest later on was a powerful figure in the local community. But through all that history, there's also the story of the people who worked in this castle. And that, in ways, is the most interesting part about the people who lived in this building. I've come back downstairs and I'm standing in that dark room on the ground floor. And now I just want to talk about what it was like for the people who worked in this castle. Because for servants, their experience of this building would have been so different than the experience of the Shorthall family or the parish priest later on. And one feature in the castle that I think articulates this so well is actually that spiral stone staircase that I've mentioned a couple of times so far. Now, a spiral staircase in a castle is, I think, in many ways, one of the real quintessential features. They're beautiful to look at. There's great craftsmanship. If you're not familiar with them, they're like any spiral staircase in a way that the steps are narrow on the inside and broad on the outside, and they wind their way up through the castle. They're a beautiful feature today, and you know, you can really appreciate the craftsmanship involved in them. However, in a castle like this, there was no running water, say, anywhere in the castle. So everything that has to go to the top floor, where the family spend most of their time, has to be carried up that staircase. Now, to try and find out what that's like, I bought 10 litres of water just to carry up the staircase to see what it's like. 10 litres of water is about 10 kilos in weight. I'm just picking it up here now. And this would have been, you know, you can imagine how many times a day would someone working in this castle have to bring this up. So I'm starting off now and I'm just making my way up through the castle. And I'm on the first floor and you carry this up. And already, definitely, you can feel it in your legs when you're carrying something. 10 litres, as I say, 10 kilos. But you can only imagine how many times someone has to do this, several times a day. Actually, as I make my way up, there's also a dizziness that kind of sets in because you're obviously moving in a circular direction all the time. Also, these stone stairs, while they may seem beautiful to us today, they're actually quite hard to get your grip because on the inside, your foot doesn't have that much space to step, while you do have space on the outside. So I'm up on the top floor again. I don't know how long that's taken, but carrying something up, definitely you feel it. And 10 kilos is not a lot. If you think all water has to be carried up here, all food would have to be carried up here, presumably prepared maybe on a lower level and carried up here. If you meet someone on the stairs, there's not space for two people to pass each other. Just that feature alone, the fact that everything has to be carried up by human hand, would really make life in the castle difficult. Also, a stone staircase is, it's really unforgiving on your legs. You know, like a wooden staircase, there's a bit of give in it. Obviously, with a stone staircase, there's none. Another feature that I just want to look at, which is quite different, for the different groups of people that lived in the castle is back to that garderobe or the toilet. While it would have been a feature of great luxury in the castle, that wouldn't necessarily have been the case for the servants who worked here. So I'm just carrying that 10 kilos back down, and I'm feeling it, but I'm going back into the garderobe now. So I'm back in here at the garderobe, which would have served as a toilet in the castle. And for the Shorthall family, as I say, this would have been luxury. They wouldn't have had to leave the building when they wanted to go to the toilet. You know, through most of history, humans just went outside when they needed to do that. However, for the servants who worked here, every so often, the bottom of the chute, human waste would build up down there, and that would have to be shoveled out. And I suppose it would have been used as manure, I'm guessing. But anyway, that would have to be shoveled out. So every so often, your job, if you were a servant here, would be to go down and shovel through human waste. So I'm sure their association with the garderobe would have been very, very different. Also, one last thing in terms of their experience of the castle. I talked earlier about how the Shorthall family, I'm on that second level, that bright room I would have talked about with the fireplace. You can imagine this being cosy. Off each room, there's a much smaller, I suppose what you could call antechamber. And these must have been, I'm guessing, where the servants slept and where food was prepared. But in these rooms, I'm standing in one of them now, they're much tighter, they're much more, I don't know, it's claustrophobic, the word, but certainly none of these feel spacious. They're also probably much darker because none of these have broad windows, they only have those little arrow loops. So I think, hopefully what I'm getting across here is that two groups of people could live and inhabit this castle, but experience it in very, very different ways. So I'm going to leave this show here, but I guess in reflection, like having spent the last whatever half an hour in here at this stage, and I've been here a bit over the last couple of weeks trying to prepare this show, part of me wonders, was it actually more comfortable for people who lived in cabins on the ground floor? Even though there's these big stone fireplaces, I wonder how difficult it was to heat this building. You know, when you're 3, 4, 5 floors up, they didn't have, or they may not have had glass in this building, and if they did, it would have been single panes of glass. You can just imagine the wind, you know, on a stormy night whipping through this. These big stone fireplaces, they look beautiful, but I can imagine they suck the heat out of the building. In a cabin, they might have been much smaller, but part of me wonders, would that have been more comfortable in ways? You didn't have to come up and down that stone staircase. That must have been very difficult as people grew older or people were injured. If you were had an injury, that would have been extremely, extremely difficult. So yeah, I think castle living, it's probably not what we thought it was. It certainly symbolizes the power and prestige of a family. It didn't always mean comfort though. Thanks for tuning into this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more about day-to-day life in the late medieval period, don't forget to check out my book, Life in Medieval Ireland. There's signed copies available in the shop at irishhistorypodcast.ie/shop. That's irishhistorypodcast.ie/shop. Lastly, there won't be an episode out next week. It's the week off where I catch up with writing, and I have a lot of writing to do. So until next time, Sloan.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Don't forget to check out Acast Plus for exclusive episodes of the show you won't have heard before. You'll also get ad-free versions of all episodes of the Irish History Podcast over there as well. And if that's not enough, there's the new exclusive monthly show where I interview historians, and the first of these is on the history of the Knights Templar in Ireland. That's going to be a fascinating episode. So why not enjoy an enhanced listening experience where you can immerse yourself in history with no advertising? It's really easy to sign up. Just follow the links in the show notes below.